save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
A 300-pounder to go with Payne Durham. With the back of the end zone. That is caught for a touchdown. What a catch by TJ Shipping.
Welcome, everybody, to the Behind the Rails podcast with myself. I'm Travis Miller of HammerandRails.com, and with me, as always, is former Purdue running back Corey Sheets. And Corey, you said you are... Hey. You said you're in Atlanta right now for waiting out a hurricane.
Yeah, I am now. I got stuck up here yesterday. So I'm here until the storm is finished.
Well, you probably need to be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because as someone said, that's the safest place for a hurricane right now after Middle Tennessee State spanked Miami last week. So
I watched that game. And I couldn't believe it.
We had that on in the car because my wife went to the U and I heard a lot of swear words about that game.
Just watching it, it's like, this is not the Miami that I know and grew up on.
They got their ass kicked badly.
Right.
But we're not here to talk about Miami. We are here to talk about Purdue's 28-26 win over Florida Atlantic. And... oh, I don't know about you, but that was a lot more nervous making than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, after, regardless of what the outcome would have been or could have been, that was the most evenly matched played game I've ever witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we had a lot of injuries on offense and one or two on defense, but even still, so like you're a D1 athlete, you're expected to perform. And I mean, guys stepped up. It was good to see a running game finally, but I felt like they only leaned on a running game because they was unsure of the quarterback position.
Yeah. And Dylan Downing, he did show out 7.5 yards a carry. That's everything we've been wanting from a running back. So 113 yards, had a touchdown. I think he caught a pass or two out of the backfield, but. You know, like you said, it was nice to have that running game, and it paid off big time because the offense just seemed to go in fits and spurts. It would look great for a while, and then it would just fall asleep for a while. Like the opening drive, you could tell Burton handled those scripted plays very, very well. Next two or three drives, nothing.
Yeah, I was just about to say it was throwing them plays that he was unfamiliar with after the first few three and outs or whatever it may be. Well, they don't know they script the first 10, you said?
Yeah, so, first drive, then Purdue went right down the field, 10 plays, 77 yards, not a single problem.
Blew his load on the first possession. supposed to save some of them plays, coach.
Well, and then I know Charlie Jones lost a fumble there in the second drive, and that just seemed to really stall things out too. And but yeah, they went fumble, punt, turnover on downs, touchdown the remaining drives of the half. So That drive right before halftime, I think, was another big one where they got things righted. They were down by six. They were threatening to go into the half down six and having to kick the ball off, but they responded. They got a good drive and put it in the end zone.
Yeah, that was great to see. But I mean, like I was saying last week, we got to find some more guys at wide receiver. We can't just always have one guy performing, because when you look at the stats, you got one receiver with a bunch of receptions, and shit, he didn't even have a lot of yards, to be honest with you. I was kind of surprised at that.
Mm-hmm.
9 for 59 or something like that.
Yeah, 9 for 59. He did get in the end zone twice, but this was the first team that really limited him to some, you know, yards after the catch, and they were able to keep him just catch and get him down on the ground.
Yes, we need somebody to step up. Somebody else got to be out there, because just having Jones do it is not going to cut it in the Big Ten.
Right. And Sheffield got a touchdown, but he only had two catches. Really would like to see a lot more out of him so far, because I expected a little bit more out of him, and he's only got 11 catches for 116 yards so far. And I think he's the main guy that could really step up here and make a big contribution.
I mean, he has opportunities. He's getting the ball thrown to him. So he's going to start coming down with it and start doing something after it. That yak has to go up, because mm-hmm. the Big Ten is going to hit a lot harder than guys from wherever Florida lands from.
Oh, they're in Boca Raton. They're on the East Coast there.
Oh, okay. Not too far from me then.
Nah, not too far. Not too far.
Hey, y'all, we got to take a break right now to pay for some stuff, so we will be right back after this ad.
The Behind the Rails podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, concerts, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Bet Online continues to be the top online research for all of your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that is BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I think there was some major concerns here with the defense. It seemed like a feast or famine type of game for them. They made three big fourth quarter plays that essentially won the game for them. But, man, they were getting tore up by Nakosi Perry and Vashante Wester.
I mean, we said they were secondary is our weak spot. And it showed its face this week. Luckily, it didn't bite us in the ass.
Nearly did.
Too much. I mean, hey, the coach was telling me you'd rather be good than lucky. I mean, rather be lucky than good. So luck was on our side this week.
Yeah, it's Perry had something going with Wester, and that was when that's their primary receiver. You know that coming in, and it's just disappointing that Wester had such a big game. And then I think another thing that really hurt us was this was Perry's best game running the ball by far. He had 94 yards on the ground, and he was churning out some big, big yards. And if he doesn't fumble there on that last play, who knows what happens there?
I mean, you played what if games. Luckily, we're on the good side of the what if.
Well, we got,
yeah,
we had Chris Jefferson made another big play, and so did Cam Allen intercepting the 2-point conversion.
Didn't he have one against Penn State?
Jefferson, yeah, he had the pick six against Penn State, and he nearly took this one on the bag back too, and it ended up being a huge play because they were driving down. I think they were down one, and they were already in field goal range, and not only he picked it off, he ran it back 55 yards and set up our last touchdown.
Yeah, I was watching that when he picked it off. I was looking at it like, who the hell is the quarterback throwing to? Because the dude was not open, and like, he damn near like he stopped running.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the quarterback was looking at then.
I mean, sometimes that happens. The guy just makes a wrong read. And I know that's what happened on Burton's interception, is he was just staring down his receiver and it was an easy pick.
I mean, yeah, something like that. But at a clutch point in the game, quarterback's supposed to be on point, especially when they was having a good game like this one was. Mm-hmm. So you're not supposed to make those mistakes at that point in the game.
Right, right.
I'm glad he did, though.
You talk about how even this game was, and you're right. Both teams 21 first downs. Florida Atlantic actually outgained Purdue, which is, I think, very concerning. 22 receptions for Purdue, 18 for FAU, rushing 190 to 188. I mean, this is dead even, man. Two turnovers look at the each time, way.
Look at the time of possession.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I kept looking at that time of possession and sitting there in the stadium, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, man, this is how upsets happen. They've had the ball like 5 minutes longer than we have. And
what do you know? A blind interception comes and saves the day.
Yeah.
or a fumble at a random spot. And a guy that's having his best day.
It was a weird game, man. And it just, I think it's because I've been a Purdue football fan for a very long time. You just saw all those elements of so many of the previous upsets to these types of teams crop up, and you're like, oh man, not again. But I will give credit where it's due. They did at least get better and got the job done when it mattered most.
You know what I was happy to see? At that crucial moment when, what was it, the interception instead of the touchdown?
Yeah, it was Jefferson's interception.
I was happy to see the offense go in and put a touchdown on the board, not a field goal.
Right.
Because we've been either settled for a field goal or shit, turn around and give the ball right back in three and out.
Right, right.
So I was happy to see that they went and put the nail in the coffin and stamped them on. Go ahead on.
Yeah, because I mean, that was a great drive. They had the ball all the way down to, they had it at the Purdue 2 first and goal before the interception.
Right.
And it got pushed back on a penalty, and then he threw it and got run back to the FAU 35. And like you said, 7 plays later, Purdue's in the end zone. Nice fade pass to TJ Sheffield in the corner. But it's still concerning that, yeah, the offense went out, they got the job done, but the defense, man, gave up a 7-play touchdown drive right after it and got bailed out by that 2-point conversion interception.
They asked, was probably tired from running down and try to cover that interception still. But on a positive note, honestly, I wasn't too worried about how much, how many passing yards we had, just because it was the kid's first start.
Mm-hmm.
He got the call, whether they told us during the week or it was a game time decision. He either knew he was playing or didn't know he was playing right until he walked on the field. So this is first time out. Let's hope if he's still at the helm, he's more comfortable this coming up week.
And that's kind of what I figured he would be coming into the season, because it's pretty clear that the future is either Alimo or Brady Allen. But Burton is a sixth-year player. He had a start when he was at UCLA, and he's been around for a while. He's a guy that's supposed to, you know, be a solid backup. And I'm with you. I think he did really well for his first start at Purdue, and, you know, three touchdowns. 21?
For like 26, 27?
Yeah, I think it was like 21 and 27. And yeah, really only had one bad throw was the interception. And yeah, three touchdowns. He took us down the field in the fourth quarter when we needed him to. And I can't argue too much with him, honestly.
What happened like a play before the interception? Was there like a timeout call?
Oh, well, they were down there and they got a penalty. I think they had like a holding or something, and so that pushed him back. So they had to do it. They were originally first and goal from the 2, and then they had to turn around and try, I think it was like third and goal from the 15 or 16, and that's when he got picked.
I would be surprised if either the quarterback coach or whoever's calling the plays told him to throw it to that guy, and that's why he stared him down.
Ah.
Because usually some, like, when they have young quarterbacks, the quarterback coach either might not trust them, the OC might just want this particular ball to be thrown to this particular person, mm-hmm. and he'll tell you, go out there and throw it to the slant. I don't care what's going on, throw it to the slant. And shit like that happens sometimes. So I wouldn't be surprised if the OC or the quarterback coach told him, this is who you're going to display. Because just to make an errant stare down throw like that, I mean, it came out of nowhere because he was playing so well up until then. And even after that.
Yeah, it was Burton's only mistake of the night, really. He was able to recover. I know FAU went down and got a touchdown off of it, but he was able to recover. And the very next drive, he got Purdue in position to score, but we missed a field goal.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna pass that off on the coach because I'm willing to bet coach told him who to throw to, and he him being his first start, he nervous. It's in a crucial time. You might could get the win if you make this right throw and go mm-hmm. up, and boom, he's listening to the coach instead of playing the game.
Right, right, and I know that there's a lot of fans that were upset that we only beat Florida Atlantic by two, but man, you go in, yeah, I. You go in without your quarterback. You go in without your top running back. We're still missing. Brock Thompson's not doing anything. I think we had an offensive lineman out. We had our best defender out. At some point, you just get to the, all right, guys, just go win the damn game. And I know this isn't the best night, but go out and win right, the game. And that's what they did.
Right, right. And am I mistaken? Was Payne Durham even there? Like, I don't remember seeing anything from him.
He had a couple catches. I know there was one where they were looking to get him in the flat and he got cut down on like a third and four. And if he's not cut down, he probably goes quite a way, but he couldn't get the edge. But he had a couple catches, I know.
So it was new quarterback vibes. He throwing to whoever's open, not those guys.
Let's see. Durham had four catches but only for 17 yards. So they were really limited in getting him anything after the catch too.
Right. Yeah. So that's due to the new quarterback change. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to bet the offense looks a lot better if he's still the QB1 or whatever you want to call it.
And he does bring a different element than O'Connell. Burton didn't run a whole lot. He had 8 carries for 15 yards. But I love that he started the game with a great option pitch, honestly, to Downing.
Yeah, it was a good run.
And that's not something O'Connell can do. I mean, O'Connell's a statue.
Yeah, that, when the coach is, like, asking him to run or something like that. Yeah, that's – I mean, it's good to have a different flow back there. And I guess that might be another reason why they lean so heavily on the run, because he's able to run the option.
Right. That's primarily what he did last year. He played in fits and spurts, and they had a couple packages for him. So he got a little playing time last year with that too. So,
yes, I think this week will be a lot more. You'll see a lot more comfortability in there, and he'll start to play a lot better. And he can't even stay more consistent because shit, he had a great game. To be honest with you, except for the one pick.
Mm-hmm. I mean. Yeah, obviously you want O'Connell back. I think we have our best shot with O'Connell, but I think there's at least something to be said for Minnesota's going to see a guy they don't have a lot of tape on, honestly. And, you know, before this past weekend, you'd have to go back to, I think, 3 years ago, he started one game at UCLA.
Doubt they're watching that tape. He probably ain't play the same way he'd be playing here. But it was good to see them to close out the win, close out the clutch, the close game.
Yeah, they were trying to run the ball, to run at the clock. I'm looking up, I'm like, 5 minutes? All right, we need like 3 first downs. I don't think we can hold on to the ball for 5 minutes.
They're not throwing the ball the way we've been. But it was good to see them finally activate the run game.
Yeah. And
They showed up too.
What do you think of Downing so far this year? I know a lot of people say he's got more burst and he just looks sharper, really.
Daru better hurry up and get healthy. Because after a while, it's going to be like, all right, buddy, you're in the rotation, but you're not the starting guy no more.
I'll tell you what, if you can get 130, 140 yards out of Maccabee and Downing, you're right. Dover's going to be he's going to be on the bench for a bit.
Yes, yeah, so you better hurry up and get healthy because plus Maccabee had what? He had a few receptions too.
Yeah.
So he's learning the playbook.
I'm still impressed with him, man. He had 6 carries, 37 yards, 4 catches for 59 yards. That's 100. That's near. Yeah, very close to 100 yards from scrimmage.
So, you're getting production out of the freshman that don't know shit. You finding the guy that's gonna carry the load, and I don't know where Daru fits in that puzzle.
He can be a good short yardage back. You always need those guys that can get like 1-2 yards if you absolutely need it.
Be honest with you, when I was a starting guy. If when they used to put somebody else to do my job, it used to piss me off. So I'm pretty sure Donnie's not going to be too happy with that if that's the case. So he might as well leave a starting guy in there.
Well, you wanted the ball every play, man. You wanted to run 40 times.
Nah, maybe like 25 or 20 and then cool with me. I was restricted to 12, 7, 8. I literally can count on one, not even count. It was one time I got the ball, I think more than 20 times.
Wow. Man, you're effective,
though. I mean, yeah, I had to be efficient. Shit. Didn't get too many opportunities.
I still love that Oregon game. First carry of the game, you took it 80 yards. I'm like, all right, well, he'll get over 100 today.
Hey, it was crazy. Like, thinking about that game. Like, not now, but it used to still bother me. Like, I had such a great game, and I'm only worried about the one play where they should have ran the ball, but we passed it instead. I'm going for a 180, and we're throwing the ball inside the 10-yard line, and you haven't given me a shot. Like, oh.
That was an interesting game. That was one of the more interesting non-conference games I've ever seen at Purdue. It was wild.
Man, that was a game I got banned from media.
Oh, you got banned from me? I didn't. Oh, it's story time with Corey. I need to hear this.
So, as I said, I was pissed off about what happened at the end of the game because we went to what, overtime or double overtime, something stupid like that, and. All week, we have been hearing about how fast their DBs was, and I went out and smoked them on the first carry. So I was like, so basically, I said my mind and I spoke my mind in the media and told them, like, hey, I'm wondering where all this speed was coming from because was trying to make it seem like they were just going to be out there lightning flash. Because the last time I checked, a 4-3 was a 4-3 in the East Coast, was a 4-3 in the West Coast, was a 4-3 in the Midwest. You don't change and get no faster just because of what coast you're on. So whenever them lightning fast DBs are going to come out, I told them, I was like, man, tell them to call me. And that was the last time I spoke to the media that year. No, it wasn't. Because they kicked me out of media, suspended me for 3 or 4 weeks. And then I got reactivated the game before Northwestern, and then I got taken off again Northwestern. So, yeah.
You were a senior, too. What were they going to do, not have you come back the next year?
That was before all this blue shirt, gray shirt, COVID shirt. We're going to training school, and you get another year to play with them. Like, I was on my way out. I was tired of it. Plus, at that moment, like, I was tired of always being told, if you be consistent, you get the ball. Well, I don't know. Probably in Purdue's history, you find a more consistent player. Maybe, So maybe you could go to Drew Brees era, probably back then when he was playing. But recently, since, I don't, can't name one.
I was going to say, you finished what, third on the rushing list, second?
I should be first.
Oh, I'll stop. I'll stop putting it out there right now.
No, he didn't. I'm only like a, if I'm not first, I'm second with like 100. Is that his yards or something? Yeah, I'm second with 100 and like 28 yards or something small, really like a game. And if I had played the Michigan game my senior year, I would have caught him.
All right, let's see.
Look at that. I think I broke all the all-star records. Except for like one or two. I think it's career rushing. I was nowhere near close to that.
But all right.
It was one of them. I was 129 yards away.
All right. So your senior season, you went for 1,131 yards. You were 305 behind Allstott's 1995 season. You finished fourth a single season. And you are second all-time. 3,341. Allstott all-time was 3,635. So yes, close.
I told you. it ain't too far off.
You guys ran the ball the exact same number of times, though. 664 carries, it says.
That's crazy.
You were six carries behind Otis Armstrong for the career most carries in a career at Purdue.
Man, see, if I had played Michigan, I would have had everything.
I forgot you missed the Michigan game that year.
I didn't miss it. I just didn't play the first quarter or the second half.
All right.
I played the second quarter, then I fumbled, then they benched me.
Yeah, they can't bench you for that. That's bullshit.
That's literally what happened. You go back and look at the stats. I don't play the first quarter. I go in. I think it was a pass play. Then I ran the ball. Then we punt, whatever, come back out. And right before the half, I fumbled. And then I ain't see the field no more that day.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I remember sitting in the locker room like, so y'all really just not going to play me? Like, everybody, y'all cool with that? In the locker room talking. The coaches are sitting right there looking at me. And I'm just, and before like Tiller came and talked to us, I'm just going off. Like, I'm not really going off, but I'm just talking like, so this is what's really about to happen. Y'all trying to lose the game because y'all want to prove a fucking point. It's like, man. But yeah.
That's stories. Yeah, that was the year you also set the tied the single season rushing touchdowns record that year. It's you and a guy by the name of Tony Butkovich from 1943. You had 16 touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, got it. I didn't know I tied it. I knew it was up there though.
Yeah, it was a guy from 1943. That was a little while ago.
I say, buddy, ain't even alive no more. No, I shouldn't say that. Take that back. He might be.
I don't know. I think he's gone. I think I remember hearing about that because the 1943 team, this is my historian hat on now, the 1943 team was the last undefeated Purdue team and arguably got robbed of a national title because they beat the team that beat national champion Notre Dame, but they gave the title to Notre Dame.
Oh, that was back when they was handing out the national championship, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, what sense that make?
Well, if Central Florida could claim one a few years ago, I think we should just put a claim on it right now. We were the only undefeated team in the country. Let's do that.
Yeah, I feel you.
All righty, then. I think we can start wrapping this up. So let's look ahead just briefly to Minnesota. What'd you always think about going up to the Twin Cities? I know they play outside now as opposed to the dome. How'd you guys like traveling all the way up there? Because that's one of the longer conference road trips.
I believe we fly. I think we would fly to Minnesota. So it wasn't really that long of a road trip. But I like going up there because I knew it was going to be great weather because we was in the dome. So we ain't had to worry about that. And I knew we like at some point it was we were going to run the ball because it got stuffy as hell in there and people can't breathe. So to save some time or run some time off the clock, we're going to run the ball. So I like going to Minnesota, to be honest with you.
Well, they you actually were on the last team to win at Minnesota because that was our last game in the dome up there. Was 2007, and since they moved to the outdoor stadium, we have not won there.
Wonder why? It's cold as hell. It snowed up there last week, didn't it?
You did go for 111 yards and a touchdown that game.
I mean, it was a great day.
Oh, and you had seven catches for 60 yards and a touchdown as well. So you had one through the air and on the ground.
I remember that. It wasn't like a some type of reverse. They faked the ball to me. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was like a tight end screen, but I was playing the wing or some shit like that. That's what it was. I knew it was a trick play. I ain't get many of those.
Oh, and your guy Cliff Averill had a 43-yard pick six, too, man. That's a big man with a pick six.
Oh, that was. I remember that. It was crazy. Somebody had asked him, like, Because he was like crazy ass swatting the ball down that year. So somebody was like, "Why you don't ever just pop it up to yourself?" And he was like, "I don't never really get the opportunity. I usually just hit it and lose the ball in the air." And then finally that week, he popped it up and it was in eyesight. He caught it and took it to the house.
It's always good when you get defensive TDs. I love defensive TDs. They're so fun.
Man, what?
I said, I love boy,
and go back out.
Nice. All righty, then. So we will try to get at you later this week. Hope your family's staying safe down there in Florida, Corey. I know it's a scary situation with a hurricane anytime one's rolling through. So,
yeah, especially when you're not in town. So,
yeah,
I'm about to get off of here and call them next.
All righty. Well, we will try and get another one out this week to preview Minnesota a little bit more closely. But for Corey and myself, Travis Miller of hammerandrails.com, we appreciate you listening to the Behind the Rails podcast. And boiler up.
BTFU.
The Behind the Rails podcast is brought to you by Bet Online.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.